thank you for giving me the opportunity. Hopefully I can do some justice. So the section is 118, 32 to 37, when Maharaj Parikshit is cursed by the sage Samikrishi's son. So the hero in quotes of this entire section is Sringi. Okay, so the entire section is about Sringi actually. So Sringi is a very interesting personality, and we will actually see what interesting lessons we can learn from him. And then I'm going to tell you one interesting thing. Who is this Sringi at the end of it, okay? Remember that. Ask me, you didn't tell me who is the Sringi. Okay? So we'll first of all start with just a description of Varnashram system. And the reason I'm doing this is because in one of the purports Prabhupada talks about Varnashram system. So just to divide it properly, I thought, okay, let me put it separately. So what is the Varnashram system? In one of the lectures, Vaisuranyas Radhanath Swami Maharaj, I only could hear a little bit of the lectures, I apologize, but he said that, Prabhupada said so many times that the dharma which is called as Hindu dharma now is not really Hindu dharma as we all know, but the name of the system is Varnashram dharma. So it is that much whatever important that the entire system we are actually trying to follow, or the Vedic culture, is essentially Varnashram dharma. So what is a Varnashram system? We know the four Varnas and the four Ashramas. We know about that, but essentially they are a natural arrangement by the supreme order. This is the word which is Prabhupada uses. So it's a natural arrangement because people have their own qualities, guna and karma, according to the qualities of the nature and their own karma. Their qualities and their own karma, they are inclined towards a particular, they are inclined towards a particular kind of proclivity, nature, work, etc. So that's, according to that, they naturally fit somewhere. So, and they can just be there. And so there is this verse in Bhagavatam, which I am forgetting now, Sam Siddhir Haritoshana, Varnashrama Vibhagasara. I was trying to see. Ata Pombe Dvija Shrestha, Varnashrama Vibhagasara, Sanusthitasya Dharmasya, Sam Siddhir Haritoshana. So the perfection of life is that we follow the Varnashram system in a way that it pleases Samsiddhir Haritoshanam, that it pleases the Supreme Personality. So following the Varnashram pleases the Supreme, obvious, because he is the one who created it. Chatur Varnem Maya system. So the ISKCON society also, as Prabhupada said, that 50% of my work is done, but 50% of the work is left, which is the setting of the Varnashram system. So Prabhupada said he himself said he couldn't complete that thing. So now a lot of effort is being put. In fact, just recently, few days back, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj put an article on Dandavats.
Two days ago, I listened to his lecture also. He was saying, now the job is to do Varnashram.
Yeah. So Maharaj has written and quoted from various Prabhupada's points how Varnashram is something which should be established, which needs to be established, and how, because Prabhupada introduced it later, some of the devotees initially at that time thought, they were thinking, Prabhupada, we thought, you know, we just have to chant and it's not possible to establish Varnashram in this time. But then Prabhupada was clarifying that, no, you have to follow the system and then chant along with that, because Haridas Thakur doesn't have to follow Varnashram, but who can chant like Haridas Thakur? So that was the point Prabhupada was making. So if we could chant all like Haridas Thakur, you know, we are already liberated. But we can't do that. So we have to follow our system, our particular nature, and along with that we follow the process of bhakti. So bhakti gets added, right? So the social body is divided as per that, and there is the Brahmanas who are the head and brains. And Bhakti Vikas Maharaj in his lecture, he said that the head and brains are supposed to give the direction towards what is the goal of life. And he was giving an example. I wish I could hear the entire lecture, but I only heard the first 5-10 minutes. He said the example, in the Western world, people are so crazy about being healthy. Right? Yeah, every time you go, they all talk about protein and this and that. Everybody's crazy about health. But what is the reason for maintaining that health? What is the real purpose? Why do I want a good health? That is lost. Because the Brahmanas, the head and back part, that is, they are not, you see, the whole system, the entire system is there for this. Why is the material world existing? The material world, just come to the very basics every time. Why the material world is existing? Because we are in this temporary and miserable place, and the purpose is to elevate ourselves, purify ourselves, so that we can be out of this thing. So somebody has to give that direction. Others are all lost. Otherwise the whole world will be lost. And who is giving that direction? One who has the knowledge, one who has the realization, one who knows Brahman, who is a Brahman. He is the spiritual knowledge, realized spiritual knowledge. So that's the head and brains, the Brahmanas. Second is the Kshatriyas, who are like the arms of the social body. And so the Kshatriyas are supposed to work under the direction of the head. The arms are supposed to work under the direction of the head. And they provide protection to the body. Right? So that was a system which was there. So we know that the kings would always respect and seek direction from the Brahmanas. Then the Vaishyas are like the belly, and they work under the direction of the Kshatriyas. They pay them taxes, and you know the rules which are set by the kings, the Vaishyas work under them. They provide food and other necessities. And then the Shudras are the legs. They are under the direction of all the other Varnas, and then they serve the rest of the body. So Prabhupada uses the term scientific many a times throughout this purpose to talk about Varnashram. Because he says that Varnashram, you know, the whole system is extremely scientific. The society can be organized in this.
Recently listening to your lecture, provide food and other necessities is the responsibility of Vaishyas. But the modern day Vaishyas, they are only worried about squeezing the last drop out of everybody else, right?
Yeah.
To suck from the other Varnas.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I did not take and make big Bhurijan Prabhu in his unveiling his lotus feet in the next section, which is after the 32 to 37. In his next section, he gives an amazing description of how the whole Varnashram system is deteriorated. I did not take everything from it because Madhav Chandra Prabhu might be taking from it in his next section. It was extremely enlightening for me. He tells how the Brahmanas got degraded, which led to the Kshatriyas getting degraded, which led to the Vaishyas getting degraded, which led to the Shudras getting degraded, and he relates it in the modern context. How or where we are right now, the kind of economy that we have right now, how it starts from all that. So it's very amazing. Okay, so these are the, so that's the whole point. So you can see, if the Brahmanas go down and the direction of goal of life is not there, then everything gradually goes down, and that's what will be described further in this thing. So other aspects, so the son of a Brahmana, we knew in Varnashram system, the son would become the, you know, would essentially be occupied in the same duty as the father. Okay. So Prabhupada is telling that the son of a Brahmana has a good chance of becoming a Brahmana by training. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Also, I want to add one more thing. Bhakti Charu Maharaj, when he came in our house in the morning lecture, only a few people were there, he gave a lecture. He said how this destruction happened. So Bhujan Prabhu gave one way, Bhakti Charu Maharaj gave a different way. He said first the Brahmanas got corrupted.
Yeah.
So they started using all kinds of Vedic sacrifice, this, that, not following these cultural injunctions and things like that. Then all the Kshatriyas became Buddhists.
Mm.
And they stopped protecting the people.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that in the
top two were cut off.
Yeah.
Vaishya started squeezing from others and Shudras became totally contaminated.
Yeah.
It all started, his lecture topic was Buddhism. And he said the Brahmanas misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Kshatriyas, like Ashwagandha, they became Buddhists.
Yeah.
They stopped protecting.
Yeah.
And then as a consequence, all the attacks came from outside.
Yeah.
Vedic culture got destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. In one of the things, I don't know if this can be publicly quoted, but I heard in one of the lectures where a lot of the Kshatriyas became Buddhists and a lot of the Vaishyas became Jains. So if you see that as a, obviously that's a contamination coming from somebody who followed Rishabdev, right? Rishabdev is the first. Their first Tirthankar is Rishabdev. Mm. The guy who followed him distorted the whole thing. So I confirmed, I checked with a Jain friend, he said yeah, the first Tirthankar is Rishabdev. So yeah, he obviously didn't really follow Rishabdev, right? So
they
started the entire,
they only offered raw grains to the Lord, like they offer rice and wheat as opposed to cooked prasadam.
I don't know many details of that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so those things sort of happened, right? So what Drupad is saying is that the son of a Brahmana has a good chance of becoming a Brahmana by training, also by birth, as we discussed last time, because they, by the Garbhdhan Sanskar and other things, maybe a soul of that nature will be attracted to, and also he has a good chance. However, not just by birth. So they have a good chance of becoming it, but not just by birth that you get. And so the Varnashram is the basis of a strong spiritual culture. So it's a cultural heritage. So as Haridas Prabhu is preaching here, no? Preaching by culture. So we can see it's the Varnashram system which is actually the real culture. And it's a cultural, the entire culture of India that we see is the Varnashram Dharma. Right? Because it is not just I'm following this duty, what I do at home, how I respect my parents, how I respect women and how women respect men, and how you treat children and how you treat the old people and you name it, everything, dance and music and everything becomes part of the culture. But if you see, all of that is wrapped around Varnashram. So this whole thing is that, and which is breaking down, because what we have cut off is that there are not even real Brahmanas who can lead this entire thing. So that's why everything is, so the purpose is to help everyone progress while being in their position. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it is better to perform one's own duty improperly than to perform somebody else's duty properly. So there is no reason, and he says in the 18th chapter also multiple times, every endeavor is covered with some fault. So don't try to become this or become that in terms of changing your position. So a Brahmana might want to become a Kshatriya, or a Shudra want to become a Brahmana. This not required that you change your position, because every endeavor, Krishna says, is covered by some fault. So if you do just your duty, even if improperly, but you do it, and one of the points in Varnashram is also that it is done under direction of a recognized teacher. So obviously the Brahmanas are supposed to be those teachers. They are not there. So now in India, that's what has also happened, that even if you have so-called Brahmanas, there's nobody who is teaching. Nobody who is, most people are not even accepting a guru. But even if they accept a guru, the guru himself is not very qualified. So because that system of having a guru is not there, so the direction is gone. So those things are essentially,
called as a dead elephant. Away, somebody was asking the pujari, so why do you do all this? The pujari just brushed away the question. Like if it were Harulas Prabhu, it would have been at least half an hour discussion.
Because he doesn't know
why we do. The pujari didn't know, apparently.
Yeah.
He had Garuda Puran right in front of him.
He doesn't know. Yeah. So the whole that's there. That is there. The whole system is gone.
Yeah, but
there's no. That's where the whole system
another
is.
Another thing I heard is that recently we were in Calcutta and somebody had passed away. So the Pandit was doing, they were doing Bhagavad Gita part every day and then they were reading. And even when they were doing the yajna, he was explaining everything. So the people who were sitting from a Brahmin family, Brahmin by birth, and then they are saying, oh, now we have this book and the book explains how to do the yajna, so we can do it ourselves. So we don't need Pujaris, and we don't need Brahmins anymore because we are born Brahmanas. And that's the ladies are also saying. The ladies and the gents are saying, you don't need Pujaris anymore. We have this book and it's there and you can do it.
Yeah, because the Brahmanas are not really, in one sense, Brahmanas are not really adding that value.
No, if
that's
Brahmanas did the explanation, they would be,
yeah,
people's respect would go up.
Exactly, and that was the case. That was the case even some time back. People would do that.
But here he was explaining.
Then still people are saying,
and
I will do
it. People saying, oh, now the book is there, he explained, I understand.
It's hodgepodge now. I want to do my own way.
One of the Prabhupada comments I want to add, I was hearing one of this. So even the people are different platform, like platform is doing their duties as a Kshatriya, Vaishya or Brahmana. But our transcendental Prabhupada says they are doing it, but transcendentally there is no difference. Everybody is serving Krishna.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there is no difference. So they cannot, means even they don't change the position, even being their position,
yes,
on the transcendental platform,
yeah,
then there is no difference because everybody will go back to Godhead.
Yes.
That's the one.
So very important.
Of
yeah.
course, today's Kali Yuga, there is no, but even somebody is doing any other things,
yeah,
job,
they can.
Professional occupation. But if they are doing on transcendental level, then there is no difference.
Yeah.
It's the same service.
Yeah, exactly. That's and then
Brahmanas need to explain this to others.
Exactly. That's why.
Doing,
yeah, exactly. If they do it under the direction of some,
yeah,
some
authority.
Of an authority, so then they don't have to change their position. If they do it under a direction, just by doing that thing, just like a lady, if a lady can do all her household duties and take care of all of that thing perfectly and help her husband completely, she'll go back to God. This doesn't have to do anything beyond what, you know, her own dharma, but does it in the best way possible, she can go back to God. That's how she goes. She shares half of that. So this, you know, half of what the husband does. That's why there is no need to change this. So that's so Varnashram obviously can go on. I'm sure Madhav Chandra Prabhu is going to cover more of this. So we'll move to 118.32, so where the six verses.
Tasya putro tejasvi viharan balako rebhai rajnyagam prapitam tatam shutva tatredam abhrave.
Translation. The sage had a son who was very powerful, being a Brahmana's son. While he was playing with inexperienced boys, he heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there, the boy spoke as follows. There are too many points, even if I did not hear that, which can be covered at each, and there's so many aspects within a given verse in this. But we cannot cover so many of these things. It's amazing, but Bhagavatam is just unbelievably deep. So so the first point, the sage had a son who was very powerful. So it's amazing that this boy, he was a boy. He was playing with his, you know, it's like just like kids are playing in our temple. He was just playing with his other friends. Okay, and that's when he heard, Maharaj Parikshit came and put a snake garland on my father. Okay, then and there he started speaking, immediate. Okay, so many lessons which can be learned from this one point, from this one, and we'll cover. It's really interesting, but as I told you later on, I'm going to reveal who is this Sringi. Okay, so that's the suspense of this class. Okay, so we'll see who is this Sringi, but let's analyze the character of Sringi, because this whole thing is about Mr. Sringi. Okay, so first of all, he is very powerful, being a Brahmana's son. Prabhupada in his purport in the first sentence talks about why, and Bhakti Vikas Maharaj says this in his lecture, he says it's surprising how this this boy is so powerful. And Prabhupada, how is a boy so powerful and he can give such a curse to the king of the world, the descendant of Arjun? So he has so much power. So why? How come he has so much power? So Prabhupada clarifies in the first line of his purport, the reason he has so much power is because of Maharaj Parikshit. The reason he has so much power because Maharaj Parikshit had such a government that he kept Varnashram system so pure and intact that the Brahmanas had this power or Brahma Tejas. So this reminds us of a story. which Prabhupada said. Sringi is using his power on somebody
because of
whom he has that power. So this should really alarm us, because we don't know, knowingly or unknowingly. Now why is Sringi doing that? Maybe he doesn't even, I am just saying, but maybe he doesn't know that's because of Maharaj Parikshit. So it can happen to us, that we don't know, somehow or other we have been here, you know, we are in this society, we have these facilities, etc. And we have some so-called power, like when did I think that somebody like me would sit and such exalted people would be listening, right? So I can also think like, oh, Vidnayan Prabhu is coming and listening, and I am speaking something. But right, so that power can corrupt, or we can think like that. So we can end up using that same power to blaspheme or destroy the person from whom we got that power. Is that something unheard of? No. Yeah. We can do that. Yeah. We might do that. Unless we are careful, we might end up doing that. And it's a spur of a moment when it can happen. It can happen like this. Sringi didn't plan this whole thing. He just did it. So if we lose control of our own, if we don't follow this thing, we'll fall trap. We'll fall trap to this thing. So it's a very amazing story. I don't know, probably you want to share. I was also thinking, the time I'm looking at, so I know I want to move quickly. So there is much to...
we can have discussion.
Yeah, we'll try to move a little bit faster. So the story I got reminded, so I'm going to try to move faster. There's so much which can be said about all that. But the story which I got reminded is Punarmushtika Bhava. The story which Prabhupada talks about is basically that the person came and after he was made a tiger, then he wanted to kill the home saint. So it's the same story of Sringi. He got power because of the government of Maharaj Parikshit, and however he started using it, right? So Bhurijan Prabhu says that this boy's power was mixed with immaturity and pride. So we'll look at these aspects also, pride and immaturity, as part of the later part of this. Okay. So now the next point, and which is covering a lot of this, is the downfall of Varnashram. And in Madhuchand Prabhu's class maybe there'll be more detail. But this downfall of Varnashram, Prabhupada, so the whole, this is a, it's amazing how this boy Sringi, in that spur of the movement, could start off something, an entire movement. And this movement is called the Varnashram downfall movement. It started by this boy Sringi. This one incident started this whole thing. So this was the start. What was happening? Hatred of the lower orders of life started from this. And we will see, hatred is not a heavy word. We will see in the later verses what this boy is speaking. Unbelievable. He just goes on. Just totally, like, you know, we use the word smashing. But smashing can be also, a materialist can try to smash a devotee. We talk about we are smashing the. But here you will see he's totally smashing Maharaj Parikshit, insulting him in a way like unbelievable, totally is like thrashing that person, complete insult, unbelievable. Just he heard this one thing, he immediately is ready to insult. Again, a lesson which can be learned. Sometimes we just lose track of, we can insult, we can be a great insulter, so we have to be careful. So, and from that point of time, cultural life began to dwindle day by day. So Varnashram system is the cultural life of India's, or what is there, what was the entire world at that time. But it began to dwindle day by day. Well, it's dwindling day by day, and even at an exponential, in an exponential way even now, right? So personality of Kali was, we know from the previous story, was looking for a place to stay. And Maharaj Parikshit was about to kill him, but he pleaded. So our personality of Kali, because so Maharaj Parikshit said, okay, I'll grant you four places, you can go and stay. Those places of gambling, prostitution, falsehood, and the fourth one. So, and where gold is. So that personality was, he had those four places, right? Or those five places, but he couldn't find any place. Because Maharaj Parikshit had such a government that there was no place for him to be there. So he was looking for the opportunity. He was waiting. Now you can imagine Kali personified, he's smart. Right? He's, I mean, how can Kali attack? You know, of so many malefics, I'm myself speaking, I'm a agent of Kali also here. So if we can, or you know, we can be smart in spreading Kali, the Kali himself, how smart he would be. So how did Kali start this whole thing is very interesting. He got hold of this. Prabhupada's personality of Kali was looking for the opportunity to get a foothold. The inexperienced boy gave a chance for the age of Kali to enter into the field of Vedic culture. That inexperienced boy, just like I'm myself inexperienced, so that's why I'm trying to relate to that. Inexperienced boy gave a chance for the age of Kali to enter in the field of Vedic culture. And it's amazing, Kali, he was obviously saved by Maharaj Parikshit and he was looking for a place, he couldn't find it. So who does he attack first? Maharaj Parikshit himself, right? He just attacked right the very king who was not allowing him to go anywhere because he had such a system in place that nobody could go and nobody could spread, he could not spread his wings in that. He could not exert his influence anywhere. So he found out this inexperienced boy to attack Maharaj Parikshit himself. It's amazing that the first victim, Prabhupada says, the very first victim was the biggest enemy of Kali at that time, Maharaj Parikshit himself. So, you know, just a small incident, but how Kali actually attacked right the very leader. So, again, how we have to be careful. So let's look at the next one, what he says now. Now he, Mr. Sringi, as I said, he is the hero of this entire series. What he speaks. Aho dharma palanam pivanam patibhulamiva swamini agamya dasanam dwaravanam sushamiva. Translation.
I have a question here, bro. So, Kali has four resting places, which is already allocated. But Sringi was not one of them. So
yes.
Why is he able to...
I have a slide on that. Hold on. Because I had the same question as I started preparing for this. So I looked at the previous, I have a slide on that. Thank you, I put that slide, otherwise I would not be able to answer it. Okay, translation. The Brahmana's son Sringi said, oh, just look at the sins of the rulers who, like crows and watchdogs at the door. So I'm just talking about how within a second this guy can, like, he's so harsh, impudent, insulting. Okay? Perpetrate sins against their masters, contrary to the principles governing servants. Okay? So what is he saying here? He is saying, look at the sins of the rulers like Maharaj Parikshit, who are like crows and watchdogs at the door. He's calling him a dog or like a crow who is at the door. Now they're supposed to be at the door, dogs, right? They perpetrate sins against their masters, brahmanas, basically, contrary to the principles governing servants, because servants are not supposed to perpetrate sins against their masters. But see, he is saying how this servant, the kshatriya, who is supposed to be, who is lower than the brahmana, he is the servant, but he is going against the principles. He is supposed to be a watchdog, a crow at the door. But, so, Prabhupada says, Sringi is a puffed up, inexperienced boy. Okay. So again, I'm, as I told you, I'm going to reveal who is this Sringi. So lacking in culture compared Maharaj Parikshit to a watchdog. So it's amazing. Prabhupada actually a lot of times talks about the culture. He talks about culture in this whole thing. He says that Sringi is lacking in culture. So he is not lacking in the brahminical power as such. He has that brahminical power, but he is lacking in culture. So I was thinking about it. We also can see, we are, in one sense, we got some power. We can speak what Prabhupada has written, what we have heard from Guru. So we might, it appears very powerful. Wow. As soon as you speak what Prabhupada has said, everybody is like, you experience this in DYS? People are like, what is he speaking? Unbelievable, right? But who is speaking? So we are thinking we are speaking and we have that power. But we are that inexperienced also. At least I can speak for myself. That inexperience, the immaturity, those things can be there. So that culture is not there. What Harilas Prabhu is trying to do here, he says, you know, the culture about how you behave, how you interact, you know, you cooperate, you know, these basic things which are forming our culture, how I interact within my family. I am such a humble person in the temple, but at my home I am a lion, right? Immediately a transformation takes place. As soon as I enter my home, or a transformation takes place when I'm at work, and as soon as I come to the temple, it's a dhoti person very nicely, right? But that's going to show up when a situation like this comes, which can come anytime. Sringi didn't plan for this thing. He was not a vicious guy. As soon as Maharaj Parikshit comes, I'm going to do all this. No, just playing with his friends, simply enjoying, nice boy. Really following things nicely in one sense, because he has the brahminical power. If he didn't really follow, he had a very illustrious father. So we have illustrious father, Harivilas Prabhu, Gurus, Prabhupada. So, but that culture is our day-to-day behavior. What am I acting like right now? What is my thinking? Am I thinking I'm doing this? I am this. If I am doing like that, then yeah, I can make a show of everything, but it's of no significance because it will show up at some point. Okay. So culture is very important in all spheres of life. I was actually surprised to see the word culture being used so often. I mean, because I didn't know, so I realized that how this whole thing is about our day-to-day life. You know. So Vedic culture means. And this can be whole lecture in itself, because I heard recently a lecture by Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. He gave in Chaupati in December 2012. I really recommend everybody to, if not heard, hear that lecture by Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. Unbelievable lecture. What he's talking in that. But I'm going to talk just one or two points. December 2012 he gave. So, Vedic culture, he said that worship and respect everything. Whereas modern culture means measure everything, and measure means judge, or so. And I can measure something only if I think that I am greater than that thing. So I can judge you. You're like this. You're like that. This, that. I can do all this. Why? Because I think I am. So scientists, Maharaj says, are trying to measure the universe, measure the atom. So many things that they are trying to measure. But he says that the whole mentality of this measurement stinks, because I think that I am greater. So Vedic culture means, if I want to learn anything, I must bow down. I'm just giving few points of what Maharaj said in the lecture. We don't have time. But he says, if I want to learn anything, I bow down. So the entire culture is bowing down culture. The whole culture is, I bow down to everything. I respect everything.
Vedika says you respect trees and you respect rivers. You worship. So you respect and worship all of these things. That's what is required in our culture. So we have to become like that. At least make an attempt to become like that. I cannot just worship Krishna, and as soon as I am facing the back to Krishna, then I am not really respecting or worshipping anything else. Because Radhanath Maharaj said in a lecture, if you are humble, then you are humble in front of anyone. Why? Because you are humble.
So that means in Prabhupada's one of the purports, you should respect even an ant and pay full dandavats.
Yeah.
To an ant.
So what we can see, I can say for myself, I know I am not humble in front of somebody, then I know that I am not humble. So at least let me accept, start with that. I know I am not humble. Because I am not humble in front of everybody else. So that means it's a conditional humility, which is not humility. So much can be said about that, but we'll move to the next one. So Kshatriyas are watchdogs, they protect the society. So Prabhupada clarifies that Kshatriyas are like watchdogs. So he is calling Maharaj Parikshit as a watchdog, should be at the door. But Kshatriyas are like watchdogs. Prabhupada says that also in the purport, because they protect the society, so they are like watchdogs. But to address Maharaj Parikshit like that was sign of a less cultured boy. So he's less cultured that he can say like this. So, you know, you can say the apparent quote-unquote truth that he is a watchdog, but you are insulting that person. That's a sign of a lack of culture, right? We can insult so many people. You can say, you're a child, you're a woman. You can say so many things like that in an insulting way. That's a less cultured person. Although some of these things can be, you're an old person, nonsense. Like, he's an old person, but you don't say him like that. You're an old person. Like that. So, downfall of Brahminical powers happened. This is another statement of Prabhupada said after this, because more importance was given to birthright than culture. And this is another point for us to know, because we have been given a birthright in one sense. I'm now initiated, right? So I have this, right? I have whatever a devotee, trying to be a devotee for the Uttam. So I am sort of like, right, member of ISKCON society and this and that. So I can have sort of like a birth in one sense, a tag which is associated with me right now. It's a tag which is associated, right? So if I give more importance to that than to the real culture, then that will lead to the downfall of anything that we have in terms of a power. In one point, that because what is birthright? Means I am associated with somebody great. My father Shamik Rishi is such a great person, right? And Brahmana. So I have that birthright, so I can do anything. So I'm part of ISKCON. Prabhupada's, whatever he speaks, I speak, such a great words and whatever else, so many other things running this wonderful temple here. So if I'm associated with something great, what does that mean? I'm great. No, I'm great, sir, Prabhu. No, I'm not really great, but you know, but I feel internally like that. But you know, so I'm associated with something great. In Samamish here, I'm associated with something great. It feels so nice to talk to everybody about Vedic Cultural Center.
With the most friendliest city.
Friendliest city, this, that, you name it, man. There's so many good things to talk about. So, what does it mean? I'm great. It's the same mentality with anything, right? Anything I and mine. That's a whole mentality we don't talk about that. But about Guru also, we think of my Guru. Why? I am great. That's why my Guru is great. I don't care. I mean, internally, if you deeply think about it, why do I think like that? Why do I even have a slightly thinking in my mind that somebody should be associated with my Guru? I'm just taking with one example. Why? Because I want that power on that person. Let's go deep within and think about it. Yeah, that's the only reason. Do you think that person will not go back to Godhead if he's associated with somebody else?
Yeah, Bhaktivinoda
Swami. So there is no way, no way. He will go back to Godhead if he follows. I will not go back to Godhead if he'll not. So what is important? I'm sorry cutting you, but that's, yeah. I'm just saying that that's the only reason. I'm not saying it to you, I'm saying it to myself. We have to be, I have to be very clear. That's the only reason. It's my question of I and mine, my pride within, because I am great. That's the only reason I want to talk about one sense in that way. So I have to be extremely careful. Why? Because it's harming me. I won't go back to Godhead. Everybody else might go. The entire is gone. Anyway, go ahead, Prabhu.
So Bhakti Vikas Maharaj once said, if somebody says that the person that I am cultivating, this new person, should become my guru's disciple, that is Guru Gurupism. Don't even do that.
Yeah.
Because why should you think that that person should go to your guru?
Yeah, why? Because he should come to me.
That's the point.
That's the reason.
That's the, because
I want that control over that person.
Yeah. I want to control over a new soul.
When whatever he wants to seek advice, now he'll come to me. Or this, or so many things. He should come to me. Let's forget all this stuff. It's me. Forget about everything else. If I take out me from the question, why? Do you? There is no other reason. If we try to introspect that point, we will know that's the only reason. That's the only reason. There is no other reason to justify any of these things. It's relevant to us, so it's important for us. So, go ahead.
I was hearing one lecture where Maharaj was saying, like, if one person have a full faith in one guru and he is, same time he is open and respect others' faith who has in other gurus,
yes.
So they are also connected to the bona fide authorities,
Sampradaya.
So you go back and because you have your own full faith for Guru.
Yes.
They have their faith of the Guru.
They'll go.
So they will go.
There you go.
So you should.
And in one sense, ISKCON, it doesn't. Yeah, ISKCON, it doesn't even matter. It's just everybody is following Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. So we, even others are Gurus. So, but anyway, since Brahmanas are the heads of the social order, because if the head goes down, everything else went down. So that's the later thing. So that's another important point that Brahmanas only had to start this.
ब्राह्मणे क्षत्र बंधुर्हि गृहपालो निरूपितः सहतं तद्गृहे द्वास्ता सलानं भोक्तुम् अर्हति.
The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs, and they must keep themselves at the door. See how impudent this guy is. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate? So this is what he's talking about, Parikshit Maharaj, saying he's a dog, he should remain at the door. A dog, you treat the dog nicely, but you don't make him dine in the same plate as the master. So he's talking like, because Parikshit Maharaj came to the door asking for water, right? So he's saying he should have been just at the door. What right he has? He's a dog. What right he has to come inside the door and ask for water and drink water from the same plate that the master or the brahmana is drinking? This is what this guy is saying. Unbelievable. This is totally. So Prabhupada says that this mentality of false prestige is the cause of the downfall of the perfect social order. So we can apply this to ourselves and see, if I have a false prestige, then that's the cause of the downfall of the whole varnashram system. So Sringi is a harsh, impudent, uncultured boy. So Prabhupada calls him an uncultured boy. Again, as I said, culture. Because it's interesting, he's trying to explain away his father's inhospitality in an pertinent manner. See, he didn't even consider that point, that the father was inhospitable. He's totally neglecting that point. So Prabhupada stresses that he is neglecting that point. And he is saying that is characteristic of the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. That they are not looking at their own, what they are doing, but there are so many other things. Oh, so many other people are like that. But not looking at their own. So he compared Maharaj Pariksit to a dog who cannot drink from the same pot as his master. So it goes on.
Gate Bhagavati Shastri Utpatagamina Tadbinda Setu Nadyaham Sashami Pashyatameha.
After the departure of Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead and the supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished, our protector being gone. So it's very amazing how he is now just going to justify. He is justifying what he is going to do. Wonderful reason. Wonderful reason. If you were there at that point, maybe hearing Sringi, you might say, right, Sringi. Okay. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power. Okay. Amazing, huh? Unbelievable, this guy. So, after the departure of Lord Shri Krishna, personality of God, supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished and our protector being gone. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power. So, Sringi is trying to become what here? Prabhupada, I'm just asking a question.
Yeah.
He's trying to become
like God.
Yeah. Trying to become an incarnation. So Prabhupada says he's becoming an incarnation because now Lord Krishna is gone.
Mm.
I will take up the matter in my hands. I'll do it. Witness, and you know what? Witness it. The Vishwaroop I'm going to show. Now, right? In one sense, it's like that. Now, witness, I'm going to show it to you. So, this is what happened. So, Sringi is puffed up by a little Brahma Tejas, Prabhupada says in the purport. So, this is what Prabhupada says in the purport. Maharaj Parikshit gave license to Kali to live in four places as mentioned herein before. But by his very expert government, the personality of Kali could hardly find the places allotted to him. The personality of Kali Yuga, therefore, was seeking the opportunity to establish authority. So Kali Yuga was seeking. And by the grace of the Lord, he found a hole in the puffed up, inexperienced son of a Brahmin. So, I can see that I won't want to become that hole. We can always become that hole in which Kali Yuga can... So, Kali immediately found that hole in this puffed up, inexperienced son of a Brahmana. So, comes to Radhika Gopinath Prabhu, your question. So, I took this from the 1738 purport. There are four principles of religion: austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. And the places where Kali can reside are these: animal slaughter, prostitution, drinking, gambling and where the gold is. But Prabhupada in that purport also talks about there are principles of irreligion corresponding to religion. And that's pride, prostitution, intoxication and falsehood. So, these principles of irreligion correspond to these places where Kali can reside. So, I just have this confusion between... Maybe, what was I thinking? So prostitution is good, but forgot about austerity and truthfulness go with gambling and animal slaughter.
So mercy, or maybe confused with the drinking with mercy and animal slaughter, yeah. Pride, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if there is one of them is little bit not matching.
No, drinking, intoxication goes with mercy actually.
So that is correct, right?
That is correct.
Intoxication goes with mercy because I know we have talked about this before. Intoxication goes, so that means this is correct.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
We were thinking animal slaughter is mercy and drinking is austerity.
No, Harilas Prabhu quote.
So this is correct?
Yes, correct. And his letter. No, it doesn't. Harilas Prabhu corrected us.
Yeah, that's what I was, and I know this has been discussed before, so... And I know you have brought up this point before, right? There is a
in the 16th chapter.
In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita?
No.
Bhagavad
Gita
16th.
So no, the intoxication destroys mercy.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
When somebody is intoxicated, he cannot discriminate. So he will act mercilessly.
Okay, that's what it is.
And then...
Pride destroys austerity.
Yeah.
Pride
animals are just because of pride, where they think that they can eat, do whatever. They think that animals are for my enjoyment.
Yeah. So places where Kali can reside is animal slaughter. And that corresponds to the principle of irreligion called pride. So Mr. Sringi is there. He allowed that right now, immediately, right? So that is the reason behind this. So that was the first entry. So Sringi wanted to take the place of Lord Krishna after his departure. If an upstart with a little power wants to become an incarnation of the Lord. Is that new? So many people are there like that. An upstart with a little power. He does. It's not that he has no power. He has some power. So this is what Prabhupada, you know, obviously jumps on this point. He loves that point, right? False incarnation. You have a little power. You want to become Krishna. Okay. False incarnations mislead, 3.4 says in the purport, they mislead innocent public, they accept spiritual obedience of general mass of people, right? They accept the spiritual obedience of general mass of people. Why? Again, for what purpose? To maintain false prestige. So that's the reason why they do all this, because they want to maintain their false prestige, which is the start of the fall of the Varnashram system. Okay, last two verses.
Iti yutva roshatam raksho vayasyan rishi balaka kaushiki apa upasrishya vagvaj visasarjaha.
The son of the rishi, I should have marked it in red, right? His eyes red hot with anger, touched the water of the river Kaushika while speaking to his playmates and discharged the following thunderbolt of words. So imagine the scene. He is playing with his other boys. I don't want to name any child who plays in the temple, but you can think of any child playing in the temple or wherever they are playing. And he's saying all these things, and then he becomes really angry, he touches, and he speaks this curse. He's just playing with his friends. So many lessons can be learned again from this historical event. So Prabhupada says in the purport that you can see that the circumstances were really childish of this great curse that he is going to give to the emperor of the world, but really childish. So we can understand from this point that, and then Prabhupada writes another, and I'm just saying it right now, that Prabhupada says that any sane man, maybe the first point, circumstances very childish, and what we can see from this point is that Sringi is essentially trying to do a show off in front of whom?
Friends.
His friends. In front of his friends, so I see my power right now. And he's playing, but he wants to show off. So again, we have to be able to examine within ourselves, am I showing off? Because very likely if I'm not thinking about it, that means I am. So I better, at least I try to think about it, am I showing off? Then maybe I'll realize, yes, I am showing off. And I need to, because why am I doing something? That motivation has to be understood. For respect, appreciation, this or thing. Anything that we do. Am I inspecting myself? Why am I doing this thing? So he is trying to show off. And the second point is, Prabhupada says, any sane man would have stopped him from doing this mistake, grave mistake. So what does that point bring in? What should we learn from that? Any sane man would have stopped him.
So the friends didn't stop him.
Basically his friends didn't
stop him. Yes. So what should Sringi, what is the lesson for us? What should we do?
Proper association.
You already told me this point yesterday. So the point is proper association. If he was just there with the, I didn't think of it. She told me this point yesterday. That's an amazing point. That if he was in association, Prabhu, relax. Let's think about this point. You're going to make this curse. Let's just think about it. Maybe we don't know how to do it. Let's go and ask somebody. Why can't I ask my father? He is himself insulted. He will be humble. Okay, let's go and ask some father's friend, uncle. What can we do? I'm totally disturbed by this thing. He insulted my father. Okay, I understand that. Let's go and ask. Right? Day to day life, something like this we can do. So association, Prabhupada is saying, in what he says only one sentence we can derive from that. So he's showing off to his friends, circumstances were childish. Any sane would have prevented him from such a great mistake. What is Prabhupada saying there? Hey, association. Nityananda Pran Prabhu, when he came here, he made a very nice statement, I liked it, that our life must be guided. It's a very nice statement. So guide our life, at least in the important things, just guide, just guide it.
Ravi Das Prabhu also says that you should be always under the authorized bona fide training authority.
Yeah, and this applies to day-to-day life, not that Prabhuji, how do I chant is my only question to you. Yeah, I can think like this, that's my only question. I can't, my mind wanders. My mind wanders, but hey, what about when I, you know, was so angry at my wife or I was, you know, behaving so crazily at this time or that time. Can you go and ask that? Maybe that will help you chant better. It will help you chant better. Not that maybe, it will. So, yeah, it's not my only question. Because that's, I'm in a Paramahamsa platform. Because I'm only chanting 22 hours every day. So that's my only question. That's why Haridas Thakur might ask that question. I do so many other things in my life. I behave like nonsense. So I better ask that question. So my point is guided. So Sringi, if he took that guidance, he would have definitely saved himself from this disaster, right? So this is what Haridas Prabhu said once. Anger is the cancer. You keep feeding it, it becomes bigger and bigger. Till what point? Till it consumes you. So who is getting consumed? Sringi got consumed. Obviously he lost. I mean, I didn't hear read that particularly anywhere, but I would think that he lost all his power or whatever, right? I imagine he couldn't give a... I mean, just this is my speculation, but something like this would happen if you use it. Because I heard in lectures where they said, Prabhupada Maharaj said in lecture, that they lose their power. Or Maharaj said, or somebody else said, they lose their power. Or some other lecture, I definitely heard that. They lose their power. See, that's their, Brahman is not supposed, oh, curse you, curse, boom, boom, boom. That's not it, how it works. They, then you lose your power. And that's why they had it at that time. And now, we heard in lectures before, they don't have that power. They don't have that power. Right? Okay, last word. So this is his final Sringi episode in...
इति मित्रं मर्यादं तक्षया सप्तमेहनि दंशयति स्म कुलारं चोदितो मे तदन्तुम्.
So takshaka word is being mentioned. You can see that's the curse coming. The brahmana's son cursed the king thus. On the seventh day from today, a snake bird will bite the most wretched one of that dynasty. The most wretched one of that dynasty. Can you imagine this? He just went, you know, Bhagavatam can be very extremely polite, but you can see how it can narrate a story where you can be your language can go down the drain like your mentality. Well, it happens to me when I get angry also. So because of his having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father. So it's very amazing what you can see is that who is the most wretched one of dynasty? That's my question.
Sringi.
He is the most wretched one of the Brahmana dynasty. So we have heard this before, that when I am finding a fault in somebody else, it's very likely in some way, shape or form is in me. It's a very difficult one to take. I have to maybe get some guidance from all of you, very luxurious on this. But I keep finding faults all the time. Does it mean everything is in me? I was thinking about it today, that maybe it's there in some way, shape or form. It may not be exactly like that I criticize somebody in the same, if I'm finding fault, this particular fault in this person, maybe I don't have that one exact same fault, but maybe in some other shape or form I have some of that. That's what I was thinking. This is my speculation.
Mahatma Prabhu was telling that when you see a fault in somebody else and it disturbs you, and then you end up saying something, it's actually because it's in there in you and it's disturbing you.
Mm.
So when you see it there, you know, it's actually disturbing you in that sense.
So he made a very
new and it disturbs you.
So he made a very interesting point. Mahatma Prabhu actually forgot us. This Mayapur, we met him this time, Mayapur time. He made a very interesting point. He says in his workshop, I make a point. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out? No, no, more specific.
The one which orange.
No, 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 hold on. Can you, you already know all this stuff, right? What comes out?
Juice comes out.
No, but what specifically?
The skin.
Orange juice.
Orange juice comes out. Not just juice. So, when we are getting squeezed, what's coming out is our own. Orange juice is coming out. So when Sringi got squeezed, what came out was his orange, own orange juice. So when I am getting, finding, what's coming out is within me, that thing is there.
Yeah, Mukundatta Prabhu once said, this was almost 7 or 8 years ago, if you don't like something in somebody, first look inside you.
Yeah.
Why you don't like that something about that somebody?
Because you have it in you.
You have it in you. So this is a very difficult point, very easy to say, I got it. No, but I keep talking about people all the time. Am I really inspecting myself to see whether I have those things? If I am, then I will probably spend a lot of hours introspecting. And if I am not, that means I am not introspecting. Because, and that's why the senior exalted devotees of the Lord, they find good in everybody else. Because they have good within themselves only. So they don't find faults. Okay, so when you find fault, you have that in yourself. Take some time to analyze when we find fault. So beginning of the misuse of Brahminical power happened in this, and the result was Brahmanas became devoid of both Brahminical power and culture. So Brahmanas became like, Prabhupada gives the example of snake without poison teeth. A snake without poison teeth in the sense that there was no power left. So those Brahmanas or the snakes can only scare children. There is no power left. So that's what the Brahmanas became at the end of this. So this is the very last statement of this. Thus, maybe you can do it.
As the whole scientific system of the orders of society in this age has assumed the form of a vitiated caste system, which is now being uprooted by another class of men similarly influenced by the age of Kali. One should see to the root cause of vitiation and not try to condemn the system as it is, without knowledge of its scientific value.
So what has happened is, now the vitiated caste system has taken place of Varnashram. And that caste system is now being uprooted. It's happening in India. Now, people criticizing caste system, nobody wants to follow the caste system. And but who is doing that? Uprooting of the caste system? Another class of men, which is the general public atheist, who are similarly influenced by the age of Kali. I initially could not understand what Prabhupada is saying here. Then I had to think about it. So that's what he's saying. So the regular people of today, they want to uproot the caste system because they're saying it's a nonsense. But they themselves are influenced by Kali. And so one should see the root cause of what caused this vitiation. Or caused this, what is the meaning of vitiation? I saw that yesterday, but it just, it's spoiled. What caused this something to spoil? And not try to condemn the system as it is, Chaturvarnyam Maya system, without knowledge of its scientific value. There is scientific value to the caste system. People don't realize that, they just see the perverted version of it and they want to uproot it. But they are also influenced by the age of
Kali. Srila Prabhupada has gone through Six Sigma analysis of this.
Amazing, huh? One, two sentences, Prabhupada can explain the entire. Amazing, totally. So the practical application, I asked the question before, who is the, what is, I'm going to reveal who is this Sringi. I'm going to make an admittance here. So is this foregone history 5000 years back? Sringi is here right now in this room. And he is speaking to you. Right? So I am that Sringi. But I can make all these statements. So it's important for me personally to understand that these qualities of Sringi, I am there. So different points, pride. When we are proud, we are providing a foothold to Kali, within and without, within ourselves, without. And the anger and delusion will follow, and the consequences could be far-reaching. So when we have pride, you know, and it leads to anger, the consequences could be so. One anger, I think, like, I just got angry. So, but the consequences can be it can start the entire system of Varnashram fall down because of one anger. So, you know, as Harivas Prabhu said, anger is like a cancer and it can goes on and on till it will consume you, and it will consume the entire Varnashram in case of Sringi. So, it can happen like this. So, what's the counter? I just jotted down some points that we, this remove I and mine, it is our enemy. This I and mine concept is something obviously we have heard, but we realize more and more it's my enemy. The concept of I and mine is my enemy. So you cultivate humility and tolerance in your day-to-day interactions, not just in a something that I tell people. Cultivate humility, Prabhu. I do it in my day-to-day interaction myself. How did I talk to this person today? How is that other person feeling comfortable with me? That's also an interesting question. If the other person is not feeling comfortable with me, that means I am proud. Can somebody come and correct me? And I am okay with that? No, I am not really okay with that. That means I am proud. Simple, right? Because I don't feel comfortable. You come and correct me. So many symptoms of pride can be. We heard this from a senior devotee. If people don't feel comfortable coming and correcting you, you should be like that. And if you're not, that means you're proud. So, when we seek advice from seniors who have realized this thing, one thing I feel like, because we have to talk about peers, but if we talk to a senior who really doesn't have pride, who really has gone beyond that, just because he speaks it to us, it comes within us. Because one is I discuss with my friends, that helps also. But my friend might also be in a similar situation, because he also is not above anartha nivritti, right? So that's an advantage too. But I talk to a person who is above anartha nivritti. When he speaks the same sentence, it goes within the heart. It can go within the heart more. So talking to Harivilas Prabhu here can be like that. Or, you know, even amongst us, some people are definitely more senior and they have more realization. Or others can be like that. So sincerely we seek to apply them. And we hear from them. But hearing means two things, Rompal Maharaj said. So I don't just hear. Hear means
action.
I hear and act. So it's not that I, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's not just with that, but I hear and I act. Then it happens. So we always try to remember Punar Mushtika Bhava. So this story, if we always try to remember, whatever I have is this given, right? And the last point, and the downfall of the Brahminical powers. So there was pride was a point. I think the last point what we covered. So we covered this point of pride. Downfall of Brahminical powers began as they gave importance to birthright without culture, right? So if we are connected to someone great, we think we are great. So we have to realize that purity is the force, but that purity is not the purity of, I was just thinking, the purity is not the purity of Prabhupada or purity of Harivilas Prabhu. That is the force. Yes, that is the force. But when I am talking to somebody, it's my own, whatever purity I have, that's going to make a difference. Not the purity of the entire moment. Because I am going to block the purity of the entire moment to flow through me. So it's my purity which is the force. Nothing external, but my own purity. It's all, you know, it's not what I speak, it's not what I do, it's not so many other things. It's really the deep within internal who I am. I could be a sweeper on the street, nobody knows me, nobody can, you know, I've never spoken in a lecture, anything like that. So Prahladan Maharaj made a very important point related to this, something I was thinking everybody can also take as a takeaway, like many other things. What does an advanced devotee mean? One point. What is the meaning of an advanced devotee?
Humble.
Yeah, humble. True. Servant, right? Many statements are true. I'm sure many of, we are not going to, although we, you know, we might think like this, if I do this, if I do this specific activity, that's better, as lectures, book distribution, or this or that, or, you know, so many other things. Or Maharaj says, I'm an advanced devotee. If my wife praises me, then also that's a great thing. But that's also not an advanced devotee. That's an interesting point. my wife praises me, then I'm an advanced devotee. But that's so many other things we can, you name it, right? So many things I can do. But he says there is only one point, and that is amanina manadena. So if we are respecting others, not expecting any respect for ourselves, and Harilal Prabhu adds a twist to that, he says, especially respecting the one who does not respect me. If I especially respect the person who does not respect me, that's an advanced devotee. So this is a...
To add on that, Harilal Prabhu also said, the person who doesn't respect me, you respect him, he is your teacher.
Because he is the guru. Oh, thank you for teaching me this today, because I read this in the Bhagavad Gita yesterday, and today you are giving me the opportunity to apply it. Thank you, you are my guru. That's what he is saying. I heard this from him.
Yeah.
Thank you, you are my guru. So who is going to say that? Am I ready to think like this? Somebody who comes and insults me? And when we do that, then I was always saying, this is the fun. That is the fun. And that's what Bhagavad Gita is about. So welcome to Bhagavad Gita. That's what Bhagavad Gita is about. To do, practice this day in and day out. Because Krishna is always talking about how you pridelessness, and you maintain the same. And then last point is also about show off, right? So we have to keep saying, Sringi is showing off to his friends. What is my motivation? We have to think about this. Am I showing off right now? Am I expecting appreciation and respect? And there's so many things. Am I showing off to my friends? Other things, right? Always be in good association, because that will stop us from making blunders like Sringi made that blunder. Hopefully it will stop us from that. And then in a provoking situation, like what Sringi faced, we all face in our lives, step back. Just step back, maybe. You can't control yourself, but at least we try, okay, I want to try to take a step back, just a gap in between. Let me not act right now. That itself, that 1 second of a step back can probably give us some sanity. That's another point. Take the guidance, and this finally, Prabhupada's punchline. Greatness of a person has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So welcome to greatness. If I cannot do that, that means I realize I'm not that great that I am thinking I am.
This last question, Prabhupada, I think Bhakti Charu Maharaj have shared with us in your
Okay, thank you very much. I could not hear all of these lectures completely, unfortunately, but few minutes I heard some of these lectures. Thank you. All the
best. I should listen to Balaram Leela Prabhu. He should chastise me.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I told you who is that Sringi. I made all this point, but I told you who is that Sringi. So.